And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but I'd like to congratulate LA Kings fans. I know it's going to be a tough loss in the Stanley Cup Final next year, but you're going to the Stanley Cup Final, Los Angeles Kings.
Apparently so.
Congratulations. That's exciting news.
Corey Perry, a longtime Anaheim Duck, now an LA King, yeah. Which I'm sure will go over very well with Anaheim Ducks fans.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Back in the – that's right.
He also said yesterday in his press conference – it kind of feels like I'm coming home a little bit. I'm sure Ducks fans are like, oh, good, great.
Yeah.
Really, hope you enjoy yourself with the LA Kings.
But let's not feel too bad for the Ducks fans.
That's true.
Mikael Granlund, 3 years, $21 million.
That's true.
Come on, baby.
Guy keeps getting big contracts. Good for him.
Disneyland was all a buzz yesterday.
Disneyland was fired up. It's going to be the Granlund and Roger McQueen show for the foreseeable future here.
There you go.
In Anaheim. Joel Quenneville coming in. A lot of things going on out there in Anaheim, but Mikael Granlund, now the next part of it out there. You know you're in trouble as a free agency class when Mikael Granlund's like the bell of the ball when it comes to center iceman. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah. When he's one of the top headlines on the free agency day. Yeah.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I've been doing this for a long time at this point, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I remember every single July 1st and like the strength of every class. I don't know that I can just off the top of my head remember a free agency class that was as bad as that one yesterday. But I'm sure if you dug into it, you could find some similar ones. But it was pretty rough on the free agency front league-wide yesterday. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot going on where your casual hockey fan would be like, oh, look at that. It just was not a very eventful day yesterday, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and you get people like Besser staying,
yeah,
and obviously the Florida guy staying, so it's even like some of the possible big moves or big movements didn't happen too, so.
I am looking forward to the Victor Arvidsson-Tanner Janot combo in Boston, though.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll play together.
How about
on the same
Arvy Hustle in Boston?
Yeah, we'll see what that looks like. The Predators make one move yesterday, and Adam Vingan rejoicing. He's been trying to get Barry Trotz to sign this guy for like 2 weeks. So
he has.
Nick Perbix, the newest member of the Nashville Predators, adding to the blue line and bringing in a right shot, which they desperately needed. So Nick Perbix signs a 2-year deal. And, Joe, honestly, it's a 2-year, $275 million annual average value. I really like it. Like, there's not a ton of risk to it. It's not a long-term contract. It's not very expensive. He's got the same cap hit they were paying Luke Shen last year. So it's not a very expensive deal. Perbix is 27. And, look, it's not like they just acquired, Shea Weber or something like that. But he's a guy that has played 3 years for Tampa Bay and 2 years ago spent significant time with Victor Hedman. So he has played in an elevated role before. Probably not, exactly where you want him. And last year he was more of a third-pair guy. But he is a right-shot defenseman. He's 6'4", which continues kind of the theme of what Barry Trotz is trying to do there. So you look at the major defensemen that they've added either via trade or free agency the last 2 years. Brady Shea, 6'3". Nick Haig is 6'6", and now Perbix is 6'4". So a pretty clear emphasis here from Barry Trotz of trying to get bigger on the back end.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, is it bad if I say I like him better than Nick Haig?
I don't think it's bad, no.
It's crazy to see them bring in a baby like this, 27-year-old.
Yeah, 27 years old. It's
like, no, I needed a right shot guy, and – I think you were saying yesterday, what is this going to look like? You kind of broke it down. Makes a little more sense now.
Yeah, and it gives you some more options now, too. Like, I don't think that this, removes Tanner Molendijk from having a chance to make the team. It makes it a little harder. It's one more spot that's now spoken for on the back end. I mean, I think that these five guys are making the team. Like, Yossi, Shea, Haig, Perbix, and I would probably throw Barron in there too, are all making the team. So that's five spots on defense right there. I feel pretty good about Willsby making it, especially if he's healthy. Number one, Trotz loves him. Number two, when he was in there last year, to me, there was a big difference between like the way Willsby played and the way guys like Del Geizo and Stasny and all those guys played. Like, Willsby was way better than those guys. So I think he's going to make it. So that's six. So you're already talking about six spots there. Could they keep eight defensemen? So Molendijk would have to get one of those other two spots. And then you have to sort through Stasny, Osterley. You've got England that they also signed back there. So there's some stuff you got to sort through on the back end. But I don't think this precludes Tanner Molendijk from making the team. But they desperately needed another guy that's a right shot guy to put over there.
Yeah. Competition's not bad.
No, not bad.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, and, you know, Barry Trotz talked yesterday. He got to a lot of things that we are going to hit on throughout the show today. And, I mean, he talked about UC Soros taking too much heat last year. He talked about Brady Martin potentially making the team out of camp. I mean, he went through a lot of things yesterday. So we got a lot to talk about on the Barry Trotz front. But, you know, one of the things he also talked about was Nick Haig. And he just outright said it. Like, I asked him about paying him $5.5 million per year. And he was like, well, the cap's going up. And he's like, he's a 6'6", left-hand shot, 25-year-old defenseman, and we think he's a top-four guy. So if you break it down that way, and he's a top-four guy like we think he is, the money's going to come in probably pretty cheap with the way the cap is going. Now, you know, most people who have seen Nick Haig, and certainly the analytics community, does not agree with Barry Trotz's assessment there. But if he's right, then I understand the logic behind it. But they clearly believe that he was kind of stuck in a situation in Vegas where he had really good defensemen in front of him, and he's going to be able to play a higher role here. He did play pretty well in the playoffs for them. So they're taking a shot that Nick Haig is going to be a top four guy for them that plays significant minutes. And now the question is going to be, well, are they right in their evaluation or are they wrong? But he laid it out. Like, it ain't, you know, when they signed him, I was like, man, that's a lot of money for a third pair defenseman. Well, he ain't going to be a third pair defenseman for them, clearly. That's
according to Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz laid it out yesterday.
Is that a mandate for Andrew Burnett?
I don't know. I don't know.
So this is like Seth Jones going to from here to Columbus. Is that what this is? Pretty similar. Similar idea.
Yeah. I guess so. Look, I'm intrigued by Nick Haig. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've spent a ton of time in my life watching Nick Haig. I am familiar with him. I've watched some of him, but, like, you know, I'm not a Nick Haig expert. But I'm very interested to see if he can handle what Barry Trotz is throwing out there that he can handle.
Yeah, that's a big – I mean, it's a great – you know, I mean, this is a test of, you know, analytics. We've talked about this with the backup goalie whose name now eludes me. But, you know, when they signed him, it was like, boy, every underlying number said – yeah, thank you. How does that elude me? I don't know. 6:09 a.m. But – all the underlying numbers along with just the traditional stats were like, what are you possibly thinking here? And it turned out to be a good set. So maybe this will be a similar situation where it's like they have information or analysis that is just beyond what the general hockey media community has.
Well, and Adam Vingan was telling me yesterday on the phone, I was talking to him about, you know, the Nick Perbix signing. And, you know, that AR, whatever the analytics site he sent me the other day, and I will find it here in a second. But we talked about the analytics that he sent over on Nick Haig, and that site was like, basically, yeah, we don't have a comp for this. You know, we're usually able to,
for this contract,
we're at least usually able to generate a comparison, even if we don't necessarily agree with the contract. And this one was just like, yeah, we don't really have a comp for Nick Haig. And apparently, according to Adam yesterday, they predicted Nick Perbix in free agency was going to get like a 2-year contract with a $2.60 million cap hit. So they're pretty close on the Nick Perbix deal. So not that that means everything at the end of the day. And by the way, it's AFP Analytics. I found the site there. So AFP Analytics. It doesn't mean that they're right about everything, but it does kind of show you that sometimes you can use those things to get pretty close on what a contract is going to look like.
Yeah. K-Dot on the YouTube chat is asking, did Barry cook? And then Lop says he's cooking for the mushy middle. Woohoo. Did he cook? Did he maybe did he boil water
with this
boiling water?
With this particular signing, like if you just want to isolate it to Perbix yesterday, I like it. I really do. Like I don't. There's a lot of things that Barry Trotz has done where over the past calendar year, if you're a Predators fan and you're upset by it, I get it. Yesterday, I don't really know that there's much risk to it. Like it's a 2-year deal. For $275 million for a right shot defenseman who, again, is not some all-star out there, but he's a serviceable player. He can play kind of in different spots for you if you need him to. I don't think there's a ton of – I don't think there are Predators fans out there that should really have a problem with Perbix yesterday.
It's a solid signing that makes sense. You don't want this to be the highlight of July, but it's a solid signing that makes sense. For all of you asking for a gout check, it's getting a little – it's close, okay? And I hope Jared's wrong that it – he says it causes memory loss. I've never heard that. Are you joking, Jared?
I think he's joking.
Okay, good.
I think he's joking.
That would really be bad if it causes memory loss. But it would make sense. It would add up.
Likkanen, who's that?
So who was that big guy who used to play goalie for the Preds?
I think his number was 35.
It's getting better. Thank you for asking, guys.
Another thing Barry Trotz talked about yesterday, and we're going to get into this a little bit more throughout the show, but he talked about basically the way that they're going to have to win. And if you're looking at their roster right now, you can see a pretty glaring hole. And he talked about that. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
So your center depth, Ryan O'Reilly, Federer Svechkov, Eric Halla, Michael McCarron, those are just the four that come to mind.
It's four that we have.
You've said you want to win this year. Do you think that center depth, that lineup is good enough to win this year?
Well, I think, you know, there's different ways to do it. I know that, as I said, I've got different experiences. You're just going to have to adjust and have the commitment from the whole group. If you look at it on paper, it's not a deep center group. There's no question. So how do you do that? You got to play. You can win with really good defense. I did that for years. You do that with a team commitment to defense, and you've got to be really, really, really dangerous off the wings. I think we can do that with what we have. Now at the center ice position, you're going to have to be reliable, and you're going to have to be strong defensively, and committed to be on the right side of the pucks. Having your defense, having a little more, I'll say a little more length and size will help that. So it's going to be, you have to be the mentality. It has to be just the buy-in.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday talking about his center ice depth there. So a few things that he says there, Joe. First off, Alex Doherty laid out, who we will have on the show later today at 7:15, laid out Ryan O'Reilly, Fedor Svechkov, Eric Halla, Michael McCarron. Those are just the four centers that come to mind. And Barry Trotz goes, well, those are the four that we have. So, good to know.
You got it right. Ding, ding, ding.
You nailed it.
You got centers for 400, Alex.
You nailed it.
Any more brain busters?
Which was absolutely hilarious. So, it took all I had not to just start laughing in the middle of that. But beyond that, you know, Barry Trotz acknowledging yesterday that, look, if you look at their center ice depth right now on paper, it ain't good. Like, it's not something you get overly excited about if you're a Predators fan. So he talks about, you know, you're going to have to find different ways to win. And they are clearly leaning into defense, and they clearly think defense was a huge problem for them last year. Which, by the way, it was. Like, it's not a groundbreaking thing. We've talked about that. Their defense was bad last year. Pretty much everything they did was bad last year, particularly at 5-on-5.
Yeah, so don't forget their offense.
Yeah, that's how you end up 30th in the league when you have that combination. So he talks there about, you know, adding the size on defense, defending better, and how that's going to help the whole picture. And says also you have to be really dangerous off the wing there, and he thinks this group can do it. So what do you make of what Trotz had to say about the center depth and the different ways they're going to try to win?
Remember back when we had to win every game 2-1? Let's do that again. That's what came to mind for me. Maybe I'm being a little negative.
I mean, he did He did point out, you know, they used to win games that way.
They did. Yeah. I know. So
quite just, the 180 from last year.
Yeah.
From the brunette system to, hey, let's lock it down and feel like 98 again.
Yeah.
I mean, Brunette wants to play defense too, but yeah. That's the reality of the roster. So I guess you have to try to find other ways, right?
Well, I guess my real question there is, how dangerous can they be off the wing? Because I would agree, like, Philip Forsberg can be dangerous off the wing.
Can he score 70 goals this year?
How dangerous is Steven Stamkos going to be off the wing playing with Fedor Svechkov? Because, I don't know that's exactly who he's going to play with. But, I mean, Trotz was on with Jared last week and talked about, you know, where they're at center right now. And right now, the best option for your second-line center is probably Svechkov. And, frankly, I don't feel very good about that because I don't think Svechkov is ready for that. But I guess we'll see because your other options to play second-line center right now are Eric Halla and Michael McCarron, and I don't want to see either one of those guys playing second-line center. So it's going to have to be Svechkov. Or I guess you could move Stamkos back to it, which they don't want to do. And Barry Trotz said that last week, that he does not want Stamkos playing center. So, I mean, right now I would assume, and we'll see exactly what their line combinations look like, but, I mean, Stamkos has been a left winger. Forsberg has been a left winger. You probably want those two separated from each other unless you just absolutely have to put them together. And they'll play together on the power play and all that. But, like, right now, if Forsberg is playing with O'Reilly, which he has done a lot of the last couple of years, who is Stamkos' centerman? And if it's Svechkov being dangerous off the wing, at this point of Steven Stamkos' career, can he be that dangerous off the wing if he's playing with a centerman who may or may not be ready for that role?
Well, that's the thing. If you're 35-year-old Steven Stamkos and you've already brought up previous things he said and you heard that yesterday. I mean, look, you already know the state of the roster, but how does that make you feel at
not
this
good.
Point? That's tough, man. That's tough sledding. And you mentioned, you said Svechkov, you know, you don't know if he's ready. Will he ever be ready? Is he going to be a top six player in the NHL?
I don't know.
At any point? On a viable team?
I don't know. I think he's got a chance, but I don't think it's certainty, right? Like, you know. I could envision him being a really, really good third-line center for a long time. And maybe a second line. I don't think Svechkov is going to be like a number one center or anything like that. Now, granted, he doesn't have to be on this team, but I don't know. It seems like a
lot to
ask.
A number one center would be nice.
That would be nice at some point. It seems like a lot to ask from Svechkov specifically. And look, you know, last year, he ended up playing, 50 games, somewhere around there, a little bit more than that. And that's valuable experience. And I am sure that even though it happened before Barry Trotz planned for it to last year, that that's probably going to end up serving him pretty well in the long run to get that experience. But from strictly a production standpoint, and I fully realize it's more complicated than this, you know, last year he played 52 games. He had 17 points, 8 goals, 9 assists. I mean, you're asking him to be able to step into a top six role. I mean, you need him to get probably around like 40 points, 40, 45, somewhere in that area. And is that going to be realistic from year one to year two? And again, to your point, who's playing with him? And if it's Stamkos, who's the other winger? How are they feeling about all that right now? It just seems like I understand the idea of, like, defense. If you defend better, it's going to help a lot of areas of your game, and I agree with that. And Barry Trotz talked about yesterday, like, if you defend, you've always got a chance to win. And I understand what he's saying, but you also have to be – you have to have center icemen in this league to win games. It has been demonstrated over and over and over again, and I really worry about where they're at with that right now.
So I feel like every day I'm like, when's the – you know, like yesterday it's like, okay, what's the last team like this that had some incredible turnaround without, you know, massive changes? What's the best weak down the middle team that you can think of recently? I can't think of a winning team that doesn't have. And again, not everybody has like a great, you know, top line
David
center,
and Dreisaitl, yeah.
But I mean, the weakness of this team in that spot, it's just, it's one of those things. Like, it just doesn't work, right? I mean, like, typically, it has not worked.
Right. And look, you know, if you ask Ryan O'Reilly last year, he would probably tell you that he had just a horrible year because that's what he does. But, I mean, if you look at it, he had 53 points, 21 goals, 32 assists.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player.
That's about what he is right now. And he's about to be 35 in February. So another thing I wonder about is, like, is that getting ready to take a step back?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not his fault, but he's 35 years old coming up.
Again, when he signed 2 years ago, at that point, you look to 2025, the presumption is he's downshifting because
whoever
fill in the blank, but the blank's not filled.
Right. So clearly, I mean, you can view that a couple of different ways. Number one, I mean, like with the roster that they currently have, like you kind of have to play that way. If you're the Predators, because if you're trying to go, if you're trying to just open it up offensively with your center ice depth that you've got right now, I just don't know that you're going to be equipped to do that. So I understand Barry Trotz answering the questions the way that he did yesterday. It continues to make me wonder throughout the offseason here, like, does he at some point decide, I got to do something at center ice and maybe pay a price that I just don't want to bring somebody else in here to play? You know, just because they did that's their roster on July 1st down the middle doesn't mean that's their roster on September 15th when camp is opening up.
You need to hope if you're a Preds fan that it's not.
So, you know, there's still a lot of time here to make deals. But as we've talked about, Joe, that's a really hard position to make significant deals in the league.
Yeah. I mean, the text line is, again, it's the familiar Matthew from Jolton, Tank. Get Kevin McKenna, you know, like I said, tank for the lottery is what you and then hope.
Yeah, I hope you get lucky. Yeah.
We got another question. David's asking about Rossi. What would it take to get Rossi? I mean, at least that would be something.
Yeah. What would it take to get him? I don't know. Like, you're also then going to have to sign. I think he's looking for like a 7-year deal, at like $7-something million per year. Which is fine. I'd look for it, too, if I was him. I still watch him, and I'm like, yeah, he's good. Is he that good? And is he enough of a driver on a team where in the playoffs he can win for you?
So are you in a position where you need to start thinking about overpaying and gambling on someone young and just hoping that there's big steps ahead for them?
Maybe. Or like – do you look at – and I don't know who this guy would be. I'm sure that if I really dig into it, I can find some candidates out there. But, like, do you look at maybe an older guy in the, you know, high 20s, low 30s that – I know people are getting excited right now, me just saying that – that has got 1 or 2 years left on their deal that – you're willing to overpay for via trade to bring in right now to come help. And maybe they're not a superstar type player, but they can play second line center for you. And you just don't have a number one center. You've got a couple of number two centers in O'Reilly and whoever that guy would be. And you try to go from there, which would be a better spot than they're in right now.
I mean, really, just about anything sounds better than this. Matthew and Jolton, fair point. You can't win the lottery if you're not in it. That is absolutely right.
Well, that's true. It's true.
They might be. I don't think that's going to be their solution. I don't think that's going to be their plan, but they might be.
It could be. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the center depth for the Predators, plus some comments from Barry Trotz on UC Saros, maybe taking a little bit too much heat last year, coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. your thoughts on the Predators. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam, in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. Yeah, so I realized, like, I watched the first round of Wimbledon yesterday, so we don't have a lot going on right now in the world of sports as far as, like, excitement. But
Wimbledon's a great tournament.
I will say, dude, like, as you guys are sitting here talking, dude, I'm like, it seems pretty clear. It's like one of two things. You think you pretty much have to be true. Either you think that the 18-game point streak that the Preds had the season before was a fluke, or you think that them finishing at the bottom of the league last year was a fluke. Like you'd almost have to fall into one of those buckets, right? Because yeah. I'm like, no matter what happens right here, dude, I just feel like, yeah, that dude they signed yesterday was okay. Like I'm not, I just don't see anything changing. I think the 18-game point streak was a fluke. So I feel like until you change Brunette, it doesn't matter what they do right here, dude. They could go get a stud, and I don't think it's going to help. But like, I don't know. I'd be curious to see what you think there, though, Robbie, because I feel like it doesn't matter the players you bring in if the system sucks. Like the dude that they brought in 2 days ago, even they're like, oh, he's 6'6". And I'm like, he's 6'6" in a terrible system. Like he's going to end up. I mean, Michael McCarron's big, right? Like, I don't know. It's not exciting to me, man. Like I said, maybe it wouldn't bother me as much if I had other things besides tennis, but, like, it does kind of bother me a little bit.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
All right, I got to jump on this real quick. I feel like I jump on Adam sometimes. But, Adam, the same system, the same coach won the President's Trophy. So I think I'm not saying that they shouldn't have changed Brunette. I think that when you look at everything, that probably makes sense if you're not going to change the players to change the coach. But, like, let's not act like, again, this system is, I mean, Joel Quenneville had to be back in the league after all this crap that happened in Chicago. That's where he got the system. I mean, I think we put too much on system. We put too much on coach in this league. They had a crap team. They have some good players who were bad last year. You can put it all on Brunette if you want. But I think that's simplifying, way oversimplifying.
Well, and look, Brunette talked yesterday a little bit, and he talked about, you know, I asked him about the changes that he's going to make, and he didn't really get into it. Like, he talked about how, you know, he's been spending basically the last month working on some things to become a better coach, and that this week when they get their roster for the most part nailed down of what it's going to be, they're going to start going over some tactical things. So he didn't really want to get much into adjustments and all that. By the way, we're going to have an Andrew Brunette on our show tomorrow at 8:15. So we're looking forward to that.
Maybe we can have Adam from Portland in with
well,
us.
Well, maybe
have
so.
A little point counterpoint.
Yeah, go back and forth. But Andrew Brunette will be on our show tomorrow at 8:15. So we'll get into a lot of this with him as well. But look, I know people don't want to hear this, and I'm with you in terms of like just skepticism and seeing, you know, how much of a difference it's actually going to make given where they're at center. Like, with where they're at center right now, Joe, it's hard for me to get them being a playoff team. It just is. However, I know that people are going to want to dismiss the defensive part of it. Defense was a huge problem for them last year. It was.
Yeah.
So if they are much better defensively, that's going to help them a lot. Like, they will win more games. They will be in more games. And when you're better defensively, that can help you a little bit more offensively. Now, you still need offensive firepower, and I just don't know that they've got enough down the middle right now for that not to be a huge problem at some point. But if they are better defensively, significantly better defensively, that's going to help. The question is, are they significantly better defensively? They're certainly significantly bigger defensively. Are they significantly better defensively? And that, I do not know for sure. We're going to find out.
Yeah, but they have at least – I mean, they've addressed it. We'll see how well they've addressed it. They've addressed it. They have not addressed center. And I probably wouldn't guess that it's for lack of trying, but yeah, they haven't been able to do it.
Right. To this point, they've not been able to do it. And, look, there's still a lot of questions on defense that they've got. Is Brady Shea going to be good this year? Like, Brady Shea, it felt like, got better toward the end of last year. And then you looked at the situation around him and you're like, well, and Trotz said this yesterday, it was Brady Shea and a bunch of guys. Like, that's what it was at the end of last year. Is Yossi going to be available all year? And if so, to what level is he playing? Like, you know, even Yossi.
Huge question.
Yossi, before he got hurt last year, was, I would say, okay. He wasn't really, really good. Is he going to be okay again next year? Or is he going to be really, really – like, if Roman Yossi's back to being a Norris Trophy caliber player, well, that's a pretty darn big difference on defense right there. I don't know that I expect that to happen, but that's a big difference there. So, again, I know people are going to hear the defensive stuff, and trust me, I get it. I've been around here for a long time, too. I know the defensive stuff.
Get excited.
It wears on you after a while. I get it. I do. But I also think that you have to recognize that if they do make those improvements defensively, they will be better,
yeah.
Even with their coach that I know some of you think can't tie his shoes.
And I understand it's a totally different thing because they were dynamic and they had a lot – they were very versatile. But you think about why did they get within 2 wins of winning the cup? It was right. Because they had the best decor in the league.
Exactly. And, look, this decor is not going to be that.
No.
So
that's,
let's
yeah,
go ahead
I'm,
and get
I'm not
that
saying
out. I know you're no, not saying yeah, that, but yeah, it, yeah. It's not going to be that. But can it be really effective and limit people from getting to the middle of the ice and pushing them around like they got pushed around last year? That's going to be what's going to be interesting to see here. And the other part is, how much does it help your goalie? Is Barry Trotz right that most of their issues in goal have come from defense and is around them? Because that's what he said yesterday. And Barry Trotz with some interesting words about UC Saros and saying that maybe Saros is catching a little bit too much heat. Here's what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday at his press conference.
You know, the big thing for me was the trade that we did the other day. That was that one feels absolutely right for where we want to go with this team. And then I think Nick is a really valued one. Our scouts do a really good job of finding those value guys where you want to get them before they pop. So I think they've done a really good job. So. And then we've got lots of good players. I mean, having Roman Yossi for a healthy Roman Yossi back in on the defense that we currently have, and the depth that we have there, I think we're going to be really, really good. And that'll make Saros's life a lot better too, because last year it was times it was very unfair for him. He took a lot of heat for it unnecessarily.
That was Barry Trotz talking about Saros. The defensive situation around him last year, said at times it was very unfair for him.
It's never the goalie's fault.
And then said he took a lot of heat for it unnecessarily, was what Barry Trotz said last year.
So people, like, mentioning his stats? Like, were people in this town, in this station, written word, anywhere else, like just ripping UC Saros left and right last year?
I wouldn't say ripping, no.
It was a bad year.
There's concern.
That's what it was.
There's concern.
Yeah. I mean, we can all agree the defense was bad. He didn't get the support he needed, but also, like, he didn't rise up and overcome that. And I'm sorry, but when you sign someone like you signed him to that deal, then that's what you are signing up for, right?
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a big question we're going to find out this year. Like, if they're right and – the defense is improved to the level in which they seem to think that it is. Well, then UC Saros needs to look like Vezina Trophy UC Saros this year. Let me put it to you this way. If they fix the defense to the level that they think they have, I don't want to hear any excuses for UC Saros this year if I'm a Predators fan. You have paid him the money you've paid him. You got an 8-year deal that's starting right now. I'm done with the excuses from UC Saros this year. I'm done with it.
But again,
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but this is hockey, right? Like I'm still waiting. Well, I'm sorry, Peter DeBoer. Never mind. Let's set him aside.
Yeah.
Other than Peter DeBoer this year, like the blaming of the goalie or even acknowledging that the goalie might have had anything to do with an issue is like it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the lowest percentage of anyone ever talking in hockey history.
And look,
the goalie never gets blamed.
And look, I've said this before, and I stand by it. I am concerned about UC Saros. There have been stretches in each of the past 2 years where I look at it and I'm like, man, I just don't know. It's not looking good to me. I also acknowledge that if they are much better defensively, he probably will play better this year. Now, the question is he still elite? I mean that's what you signed him to be is elite moving forward.
Yeah, you've decided to construct your team around him being one of the top guys in the league. That's what it is.
Yes.
Even with the cap going up, that's what it is.
Exactly. So we're gonna begin to find out some of that this year. But Barry Trotz clearly, I took note of that yesterday. Clearly, I think is a little bothered by some of the discussion about UC Soros.
Well, yeah, I don't think. I mean, I said this. A texter said, you know, Jared was, and a lot of people will just default to that. Did Jared get personal? I just don't think there was anything unfair. I really don't.
Well, let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ryan in Mount Juliet. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. On the Trotz Soros about Soros, I think that's like total just trying to quiet the rush. I'm sorry, if you want to be considered an elite goaltender, then even with your defense being bad, you need to step up and make game-saving saves or take control of the game. Pekka didn't always have the greatest defense in front of him, and he always bailed him out. You look at guys like Vasilevsky and Igor Shesterkin. They didn't have great years, especially not Shesterkin, but you didn't see him ever say, hey, you know, it's a defensive fault. It's not my fault that I can't get this job done. You know, it's you want to be considered an elite, then you need to do it through yourself. And especially since you're getting this pay raise, you need the targets on your back, and you need to just make sure you play your crease and do what you got to do and stop hoping the GM and the coach is going to bail you out.
Well, let's be clear. Soros has not said any of this.
Let's be fair here.
Like, yeah. Soros has not said a word about any of this. So let's not blame UC Soros for what Barry Trotz says.
I understand. I'm talking more on Trotz. Like, you know, you stop trying to bail your goaltender. He needs to be an elite goaltender if he wants to be paid like elite goaltenders. And, you know, let him take the criticism like every other goaltender in the NHL does.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your reaction to get to. We'll do that coming up next. Plus, what about Brady Martin? Is he a legitimate contender to make the roster this year? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will have Alex Doherty from the Tennessean joining us at 7:15. We'll get into all things Predators with him as well. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later in the show. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, we went through the center depth earlier, and Barry Trotz acknowledging yesterday that, you know, on paper, it's not very deep. And you look at it and you say, huh, okay, who is driving the offense? Who's the point producer is going to be at center ice for this team? Well, another question that I've had, how realistic is it that Brady Martin, their first-round pick at number 5 overall, can actually push to make the team this year? And, you know, Barry Trotz talked about it on draft night, and he said, you know, nothing would surprise me with this kid. And he says, you know, he's coming to take somebody's spot. And it was a really kind of a more about his attitude and his approach. And so I just asked him yesterday, I was like, how much do you have an open mind? How much as we sit here on July 1st are you thinking about Brady Martin making this roster? And here's what Barry Trotz had to say on that front yesterday.
Nothing would surprise me. This guy is he's got tons of confidence. I think he's a guy that pulls you into the fight. Someone was asking me, you know, who do you remind me of? Sometimes I show my age, but he's got the Bobby Clark-ish type of mentality. You know, he's got more skill than you thought. He will hurt you. He will pull guys into the fight. All those things that that make you, you know, your team better when it matters. And he steps up when it matters. So, you know, he had a chance at training camp to step up, and it was funny. You know, he came in and he saw, you know, Mike McCarron walk by, and he's like, I got to go against him.
So he was talking about Mike McCarron coming by and how big he is, and was like, I got to go against him. And
so he's afraid of Michael McCarron.
Yep.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, like Trotz clearly loves this kid, and I understand. Obviously, they love him. They drafted him number 5 overall, okay? So that part of it is a given, and I understand that. Like, I do wonder, in the back of his mind, is Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett, And less so Brunette, because Brunette's got to, he's got to see him on the ice, and he's the coach. But, like, Trotz has gone through the evaluation process. They've interviewed him. They've talked to him. They've had him in the building now this week. Like, is there – is Trotz leaving room here for him to come in and make the team? It still seems far-fetched to me that an 18-year-old is going to come in and be ready to play in the NHL, and particularly be ready to play in a role where they probably need him to play at that point. You know, I'm not going to discount the possibility that he starts the year and they play, you know, they've got 9 games to play him before they burn a year of his deal. And he's in a spot with his contract and with, you know, the current structure where he's either got to be in the NHL or he's going back to junior, which I hate, by the way.
Can't go to the AHL.
You can't go to the AHL. Stupid. Which is, yeah, I don't like that. Because I think, honestly, he'd be a perfect guy to just be like, all right, go to Milwaukee. Like, right now, go to Milwaukee. I'm interested to see how they view that. And because of where they're at with their center depth, if they're not able to pull off another move by the time the season comes around, do you give that more of a look if you're Barry Trotz with Brady Martin as an 18-year-old?
Yeah, it's I think he's going to have every opportunity. I'd like to know Crispy's take on Bobby Clark, by the way. I need to know if
Crispy loves Bobby Clark.
Yeah, I would think so. Captain the Broad Seat Bullies. I mean, you're talking about a 120-point player there, that Bobby Clark. So if he's Bobby Clark, you got to be pretty excited about that. But, no, I mean, I think someone texted earlier and said, what would you say, 10%? 10% chances on team? Like you said, like the –
that's probably the high end, but yeah.
Like the first few games, give it a look. I could see that.
I could see
happening.
That.
I could see that happening.
I could see, you know, giving it a look for a minute and seeing, you know, is he completely out of place here? Is he good enough early enough where you can live with some of the growing pains that would come? It doesn't seem like a very Barry Trotz predator thing to do, is to bring up the 18-year-old and play. Now, I say that, you know, they drafted Seth Jones at number 4 overall and played him immediately. Like, he was immediately there. So it's not like there's not precedent for this with a higher pick that they've had. Now, you know, Seth Jones was a really, really good defenseman prospect, and most people agreed he was ready to play right out of the jump. And he was. Like, he was ready to play in the NHL right out of the jump. Is Brady Martin that type of player in the NHL? You know, it's completely different. I mean, you're talking about two completely different positions, two completely different body types, all these things. So it's not a direct one-for-one comparison between him and Seth Jones. But it does underscore that, like, if – and Barry Trotz was the coach then, by the way. If they feel like a player is ready at 18, there is precedent for them putting one in the lineup. So we'll see.
Did Trotz say he has tons of confidence, or did you say that? Who said that? People are really seizing on that.
Oh, Trotz said that. Yeah.
Is that allowed? He has tons of confidence?
Tons of confidence.
I didn't think that was allowed in sports until he's won a Stanley Cup and has, like, had everyone in his family drink from the Stanley Cup before he can have any confidence. I don't understand.
In your Hall of Fame speech, that's when you can have
confidence. Exactly. Yeah. When you're on your deathbed after having won 4 Nobel Peace Prizes, then you can have confidence.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get into some more comments from the Predators coming up next. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us at 7:15. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.